Morning, everyone. Morning, everyone. Oh, there you are. You are there. Oh, boomy. Do I need to go back, Nigel, if I'm doing that? I'm okay. Well, I'm not okay, actually. Yeah, I'm not okay. Is that all right to say? It's okay to say that, isn't it? This is not how I planned this morning to be. God has other ideas. Yeah, we'll see what he wants to do this morning. If you've got your Bibles, do you want to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 22? So when we had a conversation yesterday, myself, Ben and Brian, and we realized that Ben was not going to be able to be here, we kind of were talking through what we would do instead. And as soon as we kind of made the decision, you know, that it wasn't feasible for us to push ahead and that we would have to press pause on that. I felt we were talking about, well, what we're going to do, what we're going to talk about. And I felt the Holy Spirit just drop this passage of scripture into my heart. It's something that I've been living with for the last few weeks. So I'm just going to share a little bit this morning. It's not going to be your kind of normal structured preach in some senses, but hopefully God will draw out some encouragement from this passage for you. Let's read the passage first, and then I'll give a little bit of context as to what I'm going to share. So chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, if you don't have a Bible, there are some over on the back. It says, David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. And he became commander over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. And he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and my mother stay with you till I know what God will do for me." And he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Then the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not remain in the stronghold. Depart and go into the land of Judah." So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. So most of you know that it's not been the easiest little season for us as a family. And I know that we're not alone in facing challenges. I know that many of you facing challenges that are much, much bigger than the ones that we have faced in terms of having to kind of move house, you know, move over to Herne Bay, uncertainty about the future, all of those things. But it's been hard. It's been tricky. You know, if you've ever moved house, you'll know that moving house is stressful enough. But when you're not quite sure what God is doing or why you're there or how long you're going to be there, as amazing a blessing as the house is, and we absolutely recognize God's provision in it, it's not been easy. And there have been times over the last couple of weeks where I've been pretty stressed out and pretty frustrated and pretty confused. And there was one day particularly, I can't remember what was going on, but I just found myself kind of praying out to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I feel like I'm in a hole." I don't know if you've ever had that experience. And as I prayed that, I think I'd read this passage already, and I felt the Lord say to me, "Jeff, you're not in a hole, you're in a cave." And there's a difference between a hole and a cave. And so what I want to share this morning is just a couple of thoughts on the difference between being in a hole and being in a cave. Just to give a little bit of context to this passage, if you're not familiar with the story of David, David is chosen to be king at a young age. He's overlooked by his family, overlooked by his dad. He's not that popular among his brothers. And yet God's hand has been upon his life, and God uses the prophet Samuel to anoint David as king. He's going to be king over Israel. Saul has disobeyed God's instruction. His heart has not followed after him. And so God says he's going to take the kingdom away from Saul and he's going to give it to one who is more worthy, to a man after his own heart. And that is David. So David has this kind of moment of anointing. And then quite soon after that, he has this great victory that I'm sure you're all familiar with the story of David and Goliath, where he takes on the enemy. Gains victory. God, declares that God will fight the battle for him, and so this kind of this high that he's living off of, this great victory, and then Saul calls him into his service, and yet that's when things start to go wrong, because the people esteem David greatly and they sing these songs about how many 10,000s David has slain compared to only the thousands that Saul has slain. And so Saul gets very jealous of David and seeks David's life. And so when we get to this point in 1 Samuel 22, David is on the run. He's had to flee. He's had to leave his deep kind of friendship that he has with Jonathan, and he's had to flee because Saul is pursuing his life. And immediately before this chapter in 1 Samuel 22, David has gone to where the Philistines are, to the king of the Philistines, and he's basically had to pretend to be mad in order to get away safely. So he's had to kind of, act like a madman, has spit dribbling down his kind of beard, and then they've gone, oh, who is this guy? And so he's gone on his way. So that's kind of what has happened up to this point. And then it says that David goes to the cave. He goes to this cave in Adullam. And when he enters the cave, he's in a low point. He's had these great promises over his life. He's living with a calling and with a purpose. And yet at the moment, that calling and that purpose is being thwarted. And in fact, the enemy, his enemy Saul, is actively pursuing his life. So David, living with these promises, not seeing these promises fulfilled, living against opposition, hits this real low point where he's had to run away. He's basically on his own. He goes to this cave. Now, before I get into the differences between a cave and a hole, I want to point out the fact that there are some similarities. Okay, so hopefully you'll get where I'm going with this. I'm speaking metaphorically. Both a hole and a cave are dark places. Yeah, both a hole and a cave are uncomfortable places. Both a hole and a cave are distressing places, and they are both places of discontent. Both the hole and the cave are places that you end up when you've got nowhere else to go and nowhere else to turn to. And the feelings and circumstances that lead you into a hole, that lead you to feeling like you're in a hole, or the feelings and circumstances that lead you into being in a cave, are actually the same. Yeah, so it's the same situations, it's the same challenges, the same struggles and sufferings that lead you either to the hole or to the cave. The difference between the hole and the cave is perspective. The difference between your experience in the hole or the cave is perspective. What is a hole for one person can be a cave for another. What is a hole in your experience, I believe, can, by God's grace and with a change in your perspective, become a cave. It's all about how you view it. So essentially what I want to do, just for a couple of minutes this morning, I promise, is to just share, I think, some perspectives on struggle and suffering that we can pull out of these few verses in 1 Samuel. And we think about this picture of the hole or the cave. Okay, does that sound okay? You're tracking with me. Does that make sense? You're with me. You get the picture. Okay, great. So then, number one, and these are going to be brief. These are just, like I said, this is not a full-on preach, just observations. Number one, the hole is a place of defeat. The cave is a place of relief. Okay, so you're in a hole when your thought processes are, whatever's going on has beaten me. This has beaten me. I can't get up again from this. It's totally overwhelmed me. If you've ever said, I'm just done. I'm done with this situation. I'm done with this challenge. I'm done with this struggle. That's when you know that you're in a hole where your thoughts, all the thoughts that bombard you, are just those of defeat, where you can't see through it. But what's interesting about the cave that David escapes to is just that it says he escapes to the cave in Adullam. Chapter 22, verse 1, David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. For David, he saw the cave as a refuge. Okay, the cave wasn't just a place to disappear into a hole of despair. Rather, it was a refuge. And from David's perspective, it was a refuge that pointed to a greater refuge. So turn with me briefly to Psalm 57. So there are a couple of psalms that have a heading that describe them as being written when David was in the cave. And we don't know specifically whether this refers to this, but it's probably likely that Psalm 57 was written while David was in this cave. It says, a psalm of David, a miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. And it starts off like this: be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. You see, when you find yourself in a hole mentality, your gaze tends to be in and down. That's where you look when you're in a hole. But when you're in a cave like David, your perspective is up. Your perspective looks up so that you are able to say, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. This is dark, this is difficult, but this place is a place of refuge. You, Lord Jesus, are a place of refuge. Number two, a hole is a place of isolation. A cave is a place of community. So in a hole, what we often feel like is, I'm on my own here. Yeah, nobody else gets this. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody else really cares. Everyone and everything is against me. So turn with me to Psalm 142, which is the second psalm that's written from a cave. And David writes this in verse 4. He says, look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. Have you ever felt like that? When things are difficult, looking around going, who actually cares? Who actually cares about what I'm going through here? None of you are nodding. Maybe you're all just holier than I am, but that's how I think. Thanks. That's how it can feel sometimes, right? Like, look to the left and the right. Who's taking care of my soul? Who's actually interested in what's going on? Who is invested and entering into my pain? There is none who takes notice of me. And that's the way that we think when we are in a hole. But again, look at the difference between that and the cave mentality. Verse 1 again says, and when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. So they heard that he was in the cave, and they went down there to him. Verse 2, and everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul, gathered to him, and he became commander over them, and there were with him about 400 men. The hole is transformed into a cave when we let other people in, or when other people pursue us to enter in. The hole is transformed into a cave when we don't just say, when we're asked how we are, I'm fine. We keep ourselves in a hole when we say I'm fine and we're not fine. But when we open ourselves up and let people in, when we're real with people, we give others permission to enter in. And also what we do, what we see in this passage, is we give others permission to share their pain with us. David is in distress, and those who are in distress come to him. Those who are in debt come to him. David is experiencing discontentment, and those who are experiencing discontentment gather to him. We go through holes in isolation, and they become more and more lonely and more difficult. But if we have a cave mentality, we open our lives up to one another, or we pursue those who are facing difficulty, and we say, come in and join me in this place so that we can stand together, so that we can support and comfort one another, so that we can be in community, even in this trial. Number three, holes are places of regression. A cave is a place of transformation. I'm sure that we've all been in that place when we're struggling with stuff, and the worst parts of our personality and character come out. You know, the things that we thought we'd conquered, the things that we're able to keep a lid on, you know, for most of the time, the attitudes that we have or the language that we use or whatever it is, you know, most of the time that we can keep a lid on it. But actually, when we are maxed out emotionally, when we've got nothing left in the tank, when we just feel bombarded, the worst of us comes out. Again, is that true of anybody else or just me? Okay, great. I'm not alone. And what we tend to do is, if we have a whole mentality, we regress. We regress to our old ways. We actually regress to our ways before Christ. Our flesh bursts out of every little pore and every little opportunity. And it's totally to be expected. You know, I've heard it said that, you know, what comes out in pressure moments is what's really inside of us. The rest of it, we're just quite good at covering up most of the time. I find that a sobering thought to think that some of the things that I've have said and done over the last few weeks is what's really in my heart. But equally, we are all aware that we're in a battle against our flesh and our spirit. And so if we find ourselves just in this spiral, actually ultimately a spiral of sinful behavior when we're in the hole, that the despair and the difficulty doesn't lead us to pursuing Jesus. It actually leads us to pursuing the world. And what we actually also often find is, because we're so desperate for comfort in that moment of challenge, we go to anything that we find that we think will immediately satisfy us. We go to the things that will give us the instant hit, because we don't want the hard work of struggling with Christ. We don't want the long road, you know, of suffering. The long road, I think, as Eugene Peterson says, the long road of obedience in the same direction. We don't want that. We want to be numbed to the pain that we're feeling. And so our temptation is to go to those worldly things, go to those things of the flesh, go to those things that in that moment will just numb us, whether that's just that extra glass of wine, or whether that's watching that thing on Netflix, whether it's just escaping into that sin or that fantasy, whatever it is. We can be so tempted in that point to regress. And actually that just makes the darkness darker and darker and darker around us. But if we can stand firm, if we can, with the help of other people, get in step with the Spirit, then actually, rather than regress, the cave can become a place of transformation. The passage doesn't say this, so I might be reading some stuff into it, but I think David changed in the cave. I don't think, given what David had experienced, given the calling over his life and given his life after this, and he still made mistakes, but I think, I can't see how David couldn't have had a change in perspective and a change in his heart in the cave. He'd gone from confident, anointed, victorious, everybody acclaiming him and esteeming him, to having spit dribbling down his beard, having to pretend to be a madman just so that he could survive. The cave for David was a place of deep humbling. And what's really interesting, what I find really interesting about those who gathered to David in the cave, is that when David was victorious, he had a lot of admirers. People sang songs about him. But when he was in despair, he had followers. He had admirers, people to respect him from afar when he was victorious, and everyone thought, wow, David's amazing. He only gathered broken people to himself when he himself was broken. He only gathered those who were in despair when he himself had experienced and tasted despair and could become their captain over them. And I think for us, when we think about the broken world that we live in, what the world doesn't need to see is a picture of perfect people without struggle or challenge. What the world needs to see is people who experience the same despair, the same difficulties, the same challenges, the same pain, the same suffering, but have a God whom they put their hope and trust in. That even in the darkness of the cave, there's one who is their refuge. And so I think for us, missionally, as a church, God does more stuff in the cave. You know, it's in the seasons of suffering and trial and challenge that God does more stuff. And I think we will be more effective and more fruitful at being able to draw people to the hope of the gospel if we ourselves have experienced challenges in life and yet we've been able to find hope in Jesus. You know, the mission, David doesn't stop leading in the cave. Yeah, the mission doesn't stop in the cave. That's the temptation. That's certainly been my temptation over the last kind of month or so. Just be like, you know what, all this hard stuff's going on, I don't have any capacity for anything else. So sorry, Lord, mission's got to stop. Church, they can just look after themselves. You know, it's just like, what can I do? I'm just focused on this. I haven't got the energy for it. And yet, actually, the mission doesn't stop when we're in the cave. In fact, if anything, I think God sometimes brings more missional opportunities when we're in the cave. Do you know what? Because we've died to self a bit. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was having the most horrendous day, and I left. I can't remember why. I think I just left to try to get out to get some headspace to try and pray. I was properly grumpy. Walking down Herne Bay High Street, I saw a lady sitting there, you know, asking for food, asking for drink. It was one of the really, really hot days. I walked past. Everything within me is like, I do not care. Don't care, Lord. Don't care about this woman. Just too caught up in my own issues right now. Got 30 meters past, and the Holy Spirit was like, just gently and lovingly laying a hand. I said, no, Jeff, you do care because I care, so you need to go back. So I'm denied for a bit, went back. She couldn't talk much English, but I managed to kind of, you know, find out that she wanted a sandwich and got some water and stuff. And not this great dramatic act, but as I gave it to her, I just said, you know, we couldn't really communicate, but I just said, do you know Jesus? And she just kind of looked at me blankly. I used a couple of names of Jesus that I know, for like foreign expressions of Jesus. She still looked blankly at me. So I just said, well, I follow Jesus. And I gave her the stuff. And as I went away, I just thought, do you know what? I do follow Jesus. And this is really, really hard at the moment, but actually reaching out to this woman in distress has reminded me, yeah, do you know what? I follow Jesus. And so mission doesn't stop when we're in the cave. Number four, the hole is a place of wanting. The cave is a place of waiting. When you're in the hole, you know you're in the hole when just your only thought is, how long is it going to be till I get out of here? You know, like, and all of your intention, all of your action is just get me out of this hole as quickly as I possibly can. But in the cave, we accept where we are. And in the cave, we surrender to God's timing. We read in verse 3, and David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. And he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and my mother stay with you till I know what God will do for me. And he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. It must have been so tempting when David's thinking about his parents and thinking about the fact that they're not going to manage in the cave in this indefinite period, you know, kind of living in this way. And so he takes them to the king of Moab, and he says, will you look after my parents? It must have been so tempting for him in that moment to be like, and can I stay with you too? I don't want to go back to the cave. And yet he says this just most amazing thing. He says, please let my father and my mother stay with you till I know what God will do for me. Till I know what God will do for me. Oh, bless. David is like, I'm staying here. I'm staying right here in the cave until God says it's time to go. Not, I'm staying here, look after my parents until I make a plan, until I can get myself out of this, until I can work it out and work out what's next. No, David's saying, I'm staying put until God says it's time to go. that's really hard. But that's how you know you're in the cave, where you say, Lord, this is difficult, confusing, rubbish. I don't like it, but I'm here as long as you want me to be here. I've shared this before a couple of weeks ago, I think, but it still feels pertinent for now. There's a line in the Hillsong song that says, Lord, if you're not finished working, then I'm not finished waiting. And so as much as like everything within us wants us just to get out as quickly as possible, David says, no, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere until I know what the Lord wants me to do. And I'm sure there are many of us who are facing situations where like, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Why am I here? Why is this happening? And it's not wrong to try to see the way forwards. But when we're putting all of our hope and trust in finding the solution ourselves, that's when the problem is. Rather than going, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but you do. And so I'm here as long as you want me to be here. Number five, the hole is a place of fear. The cave is a place of safety. David didn't go to the cave to just permanently disappear. You know, it wasn't because he was just so afraid of what was going on that he just wanted to go somewhere, bury his head in the sand, and never emerge again. Verse 5 in this passage, and also 2 Samuel 23, describe the cave of Adullam as a stronghold. Yeah? So there was strategy behind David's decision to go to the cave. Because of its position, David knew that it would be a place where he would be safe from the pursuit of his enemies. Okay, it's a military stronghold. David goes there to be strengthened. You see, the hole is the place that you enter weak and you leave weak. But the cave is the place where you enter weak and you leave strengthened. That's the difference, again, between the hole and the cave, where you're open to God doing a deep work in you, that even though it's difficult, he is strengthening you in that moment. And what's really interesting is what it says in verse 5, and we're drawing to a close. It said, then the prophet Gad said to David, do not remain in the stronghold. Depart and go into the land of Judah. So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. Now we might read that and think, why is that significant? Well, it's significant because God is instructing David to go back into Judah, where he will be out in the open and exposed once again, where Saul, he will be in close proximity to where Saul is, and Saul will be able to pursue him much more easily than he has up to this point. The point is that the danger's not over, but God says it's time to go out to the cave. The battle for David is not over. God could have said to David, you wait out in here until Saul is dead, and then you can emerge without difficulty or challenge again. But no, he says, David, it's time to go, and there's going to be further battles down the line. But you are now stronger than you were because of your time in the cave. There are battles for us personally and battles for us corporately down the line that are going to be harder than the battles that we face now. But we have to endure the time in the cave in order to be strengthened so that we are strong enough, so that our faith is strong enough, so that our emotions, our confidence in God is robust enough, because we've been through the cave and okay, we can stand firm now. Because there are always battles to be done. So coming out of the cave doesn't mean life suddenly easier. It just means God has done a work in your heart, which means you can stand firm in his grace, strengthened for what is ahead. And then finally, with this, I will finish. The hole is a place of hopelessness. The cave is a place of hope. And again, let's turn back to Psalm 57, where we started. Just want to read the rest of that psalm to you. You know, in the hole, like I said, you cannot see any brightness in your future at all. You know you're in a hole where people might share the truth of God with you, encourage you, stand with you, but it just bounces off. None of it seems to penetrate. You just cannot see through it. But the cave is a place where you see beyond to the faithfulness of your God. This is what David writes in the cave. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. And God will send out his steadfast love and faithfulness. And therefore, because of that, down in verse 7, therefore, because of my complete confidence in God's steadfast love and faithfulness, therefore, in this cave, my heart is steadfast. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. It's immovable. My heart is immovable. Awake. I will sing and make melody. Awake my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. Again, there's a hope of a future there. He's in a cave. He's not amongst the peoples. He's not among the nations. But he's seeing beyond that to say, I will sing in that place again. I will praise you in that place again for your steadfast love is great to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. The cave is a cave of hope, because God is a God of hope who doesn't change, whose steadfast love endures forever, and whose faithfulness stretches to the skies. I just want you to be real before God for a second. And if you realize that you've been in the struggles and sufferings that you're facing, seen yourself as in a hole, struggling with things of fear, isolation, feeling defeated, regressing, hopeless, just to ask the Holy Spirit to change your perspective. We can ask the Holy Spirit to change our circumstances, and he does do that, and he can do that. But almost more importantly is that he changes our perspective, because there'll always be trials, there'll always be challenges, and we can live through those as though we're in a hole, or we can live through those as though we're in a cave. And for some of us, it may be as simple and yet as powerful before God this morning, I was just quietly saying to him, I'm not in a hole, I'm in a cave. But where the enemy has lied to you and said, you're in a hole, there's no way out here. You say, I'm not in a hole, I'm in a cave. God, help me to see this in the way that you see it. Help me to experience in this difficulty what you want me to experience. Change me in the way you want to change me. Use me in the way you want to use me. So we just welcome you fresh this morning. Holy Spirit, come and lift up our eyes to you and come and fill us with heaven's perspective, we pray.